Last week we talked about why men are miserable in marriage and what the cure of some of those things are. Matter of fact, in this whole entire series called They Promise Me Chocolate, we've been trying to deal with disappointments and then make application to different areas of our life. And last week we talked basically about marriage. And now we're going to talk about children this morning and that parenting is tough. And I have to tell you, wimps need not apply. And and how these two subjects come together, I think, is in this statement. That the amazing thing about marriage is not that two people can produce one child, but that one child can produce two adults. That's certainly been true in my life. My children made me grow up. But before you can grow up, you have to face the reality about how difficult it is for two deeply wounded people to come together and not just to be married, but to be parents. Matter of fact, I want to illustrate how difficult it is by some reality vows. Have you ever noticed that when we get married, you know, we look good, we look nice, you know, she wears this beautiful dress, you know, it costs thousands of dollars, and he wears rented clothes. There's not some equity there? I don't know. Here's some reality vows. I thought you could use these. I'll send them to you. You could, you know, or if I'm going to marry you, I'll use them. Here they are. See if you like them. I do solemnly swear to take you as my lifelong patient, to bandage and to medicate you as long as we both shall live. I will love you for richer or poorer, for better or for worse, in sickness, because you're one sick puppy. And I don't see you getting well anytime soon, though I am hoping for a little in progress today. I realize that the pretty clothes you are wearing here on our wedding day are rented, and they will be returned. You probably will never look this good again. That's why we're taking so many pictures to preserve this rare moment. I also realize that reality is waiting for me back at our hotel room, where tomorrow your morning breath will announce the dawn of our lifelong journey together. And the harsh morning light will yet reveal the real you. In spite of all of this, I love you with all of my heart and wholly commit myself to this marriage until death do us part. So help me, God, because I'm going to need all the help I can get. Amen. I mean, that's the reality. And here, unless you think I'm being cynical, I'm not. I'm just being honest that anything in life worth doing is hard, and it is hard in direct proportion to its worth. That it is not true that everything that is hard that is worth doing, but it is true that everything that is worth doing is hard. And there's nothing harder and more rewarding in life at the same time than being a parent. Listen to what the scriptures tell us. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward. Children are a gift and a reward. Now think about reward. A reward, now just help me with this. Isn't it a reward where you get stuff? I mean, like a reward would be like money. But parenting is sucking the money out of your pocket every moment from the time they're born, right? I mean, children are expensive. Am I right? My father passed away 20 years ago, and we were going through his stuff, and I found the hospital bill when I was born, $176.23. Yeah, you can't even get a donut in the hospital now for that. It's a little more expensive than it was back in the day, wasn't it? I'm so old. When I was born, the Dead Sea was just sick. But it's expensive. And yet God says, children are a gift. They are a reward. Children are good things. This is, as a matter of fact, why we come together to be married. The scriptures say that a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. And God does this because he wants out of that union godly offspring. And so I want to talk about this morning about parenting and owning up to some myths that make parenting miserable. Myth number one, expect that parenting will just come naturally. If we just really love each other, that's all it really takes. We just love each other and man, we'll have kids and it all just kind of will happen. No, it won't. The only thing that comes naturally is wounding each other. That comes naturally. I mean, listen, I am not stupid, but I am a carrier. And I have said, have you ever opened your mouth and said stuff that you can't believe, honestly, that you said that? Have you ever been in a situation where you said, oh God, don't let me open my mouth and say anything stupid, and God not answer that prayer? Whew, boy, parenting does not come naturally. You know what comes naturally? Feed me, take care of me, love me, meet my needs. Let's have sex now. Take care of me, feed me, let's have sex now. Take care of me, feed me, I want mine now, right? You know, most of our prayers, let's be honest, are about us. Come on, God's watching. Take care of me, Lord, keep me out of trouble. You know, but parenting is totally opposite. Parenting is pouring out of yourself constantly. And if you don't have anything to give, which a lot of people who get married don't have anything to give, they think getting married is what will fill them up. Duh. That went out the window real quick, didn't it? My wife is one of the most needy people I know. And I'm one of the most needy people she knows. And when we meet each other's need, we have a great relationship. But boy, when it's just all about me or it's just all about her, life don't get good real good. How about you? I mean, parenting isn't just natural, though the Bible it tells us that we ought to do it, that it's a good thing, that it's a reward and a gift from God. It does not just come naturally. And one of the hardest things, particularly when you're young and you're married and you're starting a family, is that there are people who make it look easy. You ever known these people? We hate you. We hate you. We love you in Jesus' name, but we hate you in every other way possible. I mean, have you ever been around people and they're out to eat and their kids are well behaved? We hate you. Right? I mean, we have to threaten our kids, don't throw anything, don't be sticking peas up your nose. You know, please just behave. Let's don't embarrass everybody. Listen, everyone has it hard. It's difficult for everyone. Here's another mythology that makes us miserable, and that is expect the children will fix what's broken in you. We're going to have children because there's something missing in our lives, and we're going to have children. That's going to fill that hole up. No, it won't. It'll just create a bigger vacuum. Children, having children will fix our marriage. No, it won't. It will just add more pressure and more difficulty and more stress in an already diseased relationship. How about this one? Assume that kids want your presence more than your presence. How many guys, have I heard in my lifetime say, you know, Dave, I just work really hard so I can give my kids what I didn't have. Well, who said they wanted what you didn't have? But somehow we feel so bad about ourselves. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm not crazy, but I'm a carrier. There's a free CD out there. It's one of the most popular ones I've ever done. If you feel really rotten about yourself, you don't feel like you have anything to give your children. So what you give your children is money and stuff and experiences. So that now we have raised a whole generation of children that are experience rich and relationship poor. We think that what our kids want is a car like everyone drives at Brentwood Academy or Page High School or, you know, or wherever it is they go to school. I mean, we live in Williamson County, folks, one of the highest per capita incomes counties in the United States. And if you try to outdo every kid that goes to school with your kid, you're going to be miserable. And you're also going to die early. Probably in jail because you robbed a bank, you know, right? So this whole idea that, you know, parenting comes naturally, it'll fix what's broken, you know, what's missing in our relationship. Really what we, you know, kids, you have kids, but you got to dress them in, you know, all the nicest clothes and the nicest places. And they don't have the toys that everyone has. They're going to end up hating you. Here's another myth that would drive you nuts, and that is believe that kids, having kids, won't change us. Have you ever heard young, naive people say this? You know, there have been people who are married and they're in love. You see these people who are like early married, they get this perpetual plastic smile. How are you guys doing? We're great. Just wait. Just wait. And then they're going to have a child. Hey, oh, it won't change us. We're all going, come back in about 9 months. Tell me how that's working for you. And then they have a child and you see them and they look like zombies in The Walking Dead. I didn't know you could go this long without sleep. Yep, you can. Yep, you can. Right? I mean, we have these ideas that, you know, this, we look at everyone else and think, you know, this would be perfect. Like, you know, a wife is an accessory. A child is an accessory. A wife, oh, they call them now trophy wives, right? Hello, boy, the gleam gets off of that quick, don't it, guys? And before you guys say, yeah, you're right. You ain't no prize either, dude. Right? When your chest falls down in your drawers and your hair lets go, and you know, I see some guys and I'm saying, you know, I hope you're not married. I hope you are single, depressed, and you know, because you sure look miserable. You're all going, what is he talking about? I have no idea what he's talking about. See, here's the thing. Your children are not gifts from God to make you happy. Right? Only God can do that for you. Only God can fill up the empty space in your soul. Your children are proof that you are happy. They're the evidence of a life well lived. They're the fruit of a healthy, loving, fun relationship. Are you with me? Now, let me stop and say this before I transition. Kids, being married is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Without question. Now, that may not be your experience because, you know, I'm special. I'm ordained. I'm officially spiritual. And I'm, you know, God loves me better than most of you. So I'm understanding why you're not having the little fun I'm having. Quit laughing back there. You're supposed to be silent. He's laughing, but everybody's laughing. Everybody knows me. Knows everybody's screwed up in a way no one's ever really seen before. That's true. I think God takes people and says, you want to be a pastor? Yeah, let's just screw him up. Yeah, you go. And if nothing else, he'll be funny to watch. Right? But the greatest thing that ever happened to me is when Jesus Christ changed my life and changed my heart. Second best thing that ever happened to me is the person who helped me understand that relationship married me and has stayed married with me. And the third best thing that ever happened to me is having kids. I love being a dad more than almost anything in the entire world. Being a father, I have three daughters. They are absolutely, and here's the greatest. There's one thing greater, and don't say grandchildren. It just makes me sick how you messed up people. The only thing better than having kids is having grown-up kids with jobs. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, baby. Income. Yeah. Income back to me. You know, no, not really. So having children is God's will for our life. And when he's not worrying about, because it's so hard, you know, you've already said, David, why should I have kids under those conditions? Because you know what? Living a lie doesn't make you happier. Being honest and saying, you know what? Being a parent is tough, but it's worth it. You with me? No one wants easy. We want worth it. What's worth the money, the investment, and the time? Having children. Because here's the deal. My children are going to be the only best evidence I lived. And what I transfer into them and how I help them and love them and parent them becomes a part of my sustainable legacy. Okay? So let's be honest. Parenting is hard. It's not for wimps. Some of you are estranged from your children. I have people this after the first service weeping. And I don't even have to hear the story. I know how painful it is. But the good news is this. Is being a parent, while hard because it's about human relationships, is not that complicated. It is a complex issue that we complicate. It is a complex issue that we can simplify. Just like we say that the gathering specializes in God simple rather than church complicated. How many of you know church can get complicated real quick? Yeah. Then all of a sudden we end up living for an organization or an institution that's died a long time ago. Simple simply means this. Simple that while it may be hard and challenging, how to do it is not that complicated. As a matter of fact, let me give you, and I'm very confident of this, because I've lived it and I've seen other people live it. And this is after a lot of years of research and practice and helping other people. Here are the basically four keys to being a successful parent. And I hate people who say that unless they mean it. And I do. And when we get through, you're going to back up and say, you know what? Yeah, it isn't that difficult. It's just, you know, putting it into practice that becomes the challenge, right? Being married has made me a much better man. I'd be a lazy bum if I'd just been single. There's no doubt about it. I'd be lazy. I'd spend everything on me, and I'd wonder why no woman wanted me, right? I found me a woman. I hooked up. I stayed with her. She's made me a man. This is my true conviction. I get a lot of criticism for it, so you can just save your emails and your Twitters. I do believe it takes a good woman to turn a boy into a man. My woman has made me understand what it means to love a woman and to truly love someone outside of me. My children have also made me grow up because they're a huge responsibility that ain't going away. You with me? Someone said, when I first became a parent, I read this definition, that parenting is being willing to live with your heart on the outside of your body for 18 years. That's a lie from the pit of hell. 18 years? I don't think so. 21 years? Listen, how many of you have grown children and they worry you more than they did when they were children? At least they couldn't drive. Now they drive and do all kind of crazy stuff. And you say, oh, Lord, please, what did I do wrong? You probably didn't do anything wrong. So being a parent is something you want to be until you die. You with me? Here are the four keys to successful parenting. Number one, successful parenting is done, first of all, heart to heart. This simply means that the motivation of parents is love, always. This is your highest motivation. Listen to this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with what? Punishment. Listen, if you are having children because you want to be loved, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. You don't have children in order they can grow up and love you and admire you and worship you. You have children because you have love to give, right? And your motivation is always love. You're not looking to be a bully. Remember when you ever a kid, you ever remember your parents in discipline? You said, man, if I ever have kids one of these days, man, I'm going to get me a big stick and I'm going to whip them too. Or did you hear, if your mom and dad ever say, it hurts me more than it's hurting you? And you say, yeah, right. And then you grow up and realize exactly what they were talking about. Because you love your kids so much. Here's what your kids need. They need to know you love them and that everything you do for them, no matter if it's discipline or difficult, even if it's saying no, it's always done motivated by a heart of love. Are you with me? Heart to heart. I've seen it happen, folks. I've seen it happen with my children. I've been in schools, been in academic life. The kids who do better in schools are the kids who are confident. And the kids who are confident are the kids who are confident of their parents' love. If that is up for question, if the father is out of the home and the mother is this, or there's a thousand different ways in which love isn't communicated, a child cannot go into an outside environment and excel because the core of their heart needs to know that there is a place they can go home to and be safe and loved and cared for. Are you with me? Perfect love drives out fear because a child understands that you would never do anything to them that wasn't motivated by love. Heart to heart. That heart to heart connection. I mean to tell you, buddy, I didn't understand what it meant to be alive until I saw my first child. How about that? Does that change you? Buddy, something dropped in my brain. My whole life changed. That was my baby. And I hear people say all the time, there are no ugly babies. What planet you been living on? There are a ton of really, really, really profoundly ugly babies. I've seen babies so ugly, it redefines the word. Seriously, you know you have. But I have never met a parent who thought their child was ugly. You know why? Because you love them, man. You do. You love them. And the outer appearance, it doesn't matter. You just love them. Your heart is connected to them. It's heart to heart, man. You care about them. You hold them. They hear your heartbeat. They feel safe and secure. Successful parenting is always heart to heart. If your child knows that they have your heart, they can endure anything. They can endure living in an apartment. They can endure driving right around in a claptrap old car. They can endure you losing a job. They can endure financial setback. They can endure cancer. They can endure sickness. They can endure anything. And they're protected when their heart is protected by their parents. They have that covering. My mom and dad have my back because my mom and dad have my heart. Amen? Heart to heart, man. You're always motivated by love. You never discipline your children in anger. Ever, 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 ever. They need to understand you're not a bully. You're not a dictator. You guard their heart. You protect their heart. And you have their heart. Listen, this is something you can believe me now and, hear me now, believe me later. When your children are little, you have command. You can tell them what to do because you're bigger. What you better get to really quick is influence. Because when they get to be a teenager and they start calling your bluff, I gotta tell you, boy, when your son's 18 years old and he's 3 feet taller than you and he's got a car and you say, give me the keys, and he says no, you're pretty much out of luck. Unless you got a big stick and you're willing to go that far. And I wouldn't recommend it. We need to understand as parents that we go from command when they're little to influence, because the only influence, my children are grown. The only influence I have on them is the influence they allow me to have. And the only influence they allow me to have and the only reason is because they know I love them. Amen? Heart to heart, man. That's the parent's motivation. Here's the second principle. Not just heart to heart, but face to face. Again, I said it. Let me say it again. Your children don't want your presence. They want your presence. They want you there in their face. This is the greatest parent currency is time. Time. I've heard people say, I work like I do because I want to give my kids what I never had. They don't want what you never had. They want you. And here's the problem with that. Most of us feel so bad about ourselves, we can't imagine that anyone would want to spend any more time with us than they had to. Our spouse has to because it's a legal contract. I mean, your wife's got to love you at least to some degree. At least she remembers. She has some, wedding photos. Look back and say, okay, what did he look like? Oh, man, he was a stud. How did he go from stud to dud? What? Wow. That's what he looked like? Really? Okay, remind me, Lord. That's what he looked like. Okay. Ooh, Gail. Your kids don't have that picture, right? They just kind of see you as you are. They see, but here's the thing. Your kids want you. They want you. They don't want the grandpa, the grandma. They don't want, the coach down at the high school. They want you. It's one of the true relationships in which this little person idolizes. You're their hero. They see you and they want you. They want you in their life. They want your time. When Paul and I were deciding about having, how many children we're going to have, we made a decision. We made a decision on the basis of the currency of time. We say, how much time, given the mission of our relationship, given where we're going, what we're doing, what is the time we have to give to children? And then we decided we're going to have, we think we have time. This may sound a little clinical, but nonetheless, this is what we said. We have time. We think we can do 3 children. But we thought we could do more if we had more money. We'd do, and where we could hire other things to be done, we'd have more. But, we realized this is our income. This is what we do. And this is how hard we're going to have to work. And we can do 3 children. And then we said, all right, what do we need to do? We need to space these children out. So for us, it wasn't like, you would have sex. Yeah, okay. So, oop, we had a child. Oh, how'd that happen? No, we just said, you know what? We're going to have a child here. Our first child is in heaven. As many of you have children who are in heaven who kind of didn't make it all the way. And then her second pregnancy, we had this sweet little girl named Erin, who's absolutely the most amazing young woman. She's just awesome. Changed my life. And then we spaced out, and then we had Lindsay. She's also amazing. She's a kindergarten teacher. She's the best kindergarten teacher in the history of America. And then we spaced it out from her, and we had Paige. Paige, it will rule the world. That's no doubt about it. So we put them, you know, so we said, this is what we have. We have three children. We're going to put them this far apart for these reasons. And man, it has been awesome. My children, now again, I'm ordained and I'm special. My children have never failed me, but I have failed them more times than not. But here's what I have found. My children, my three daughters, love me because they always know they've always had my heart. Heart to heart, face to face. Time. You got to give them time. Not I've heard this quality time. What a bunch of BS that is. It's like, you know, hey, how you good? See you. Well, phew, there I go. I smile. That was quality time. No, quantity time and quality time. Quantity time that is quality time, not quantity time where you're back at work, don't you on your phone, reading your emails, talking to people everywhere else. Wherever you are, be there. Can I hear an amen? Face to face, heart to heart. Here's the next one. Now we're stepping. Here, the motivation of parenting is love. The currency is time. Successful parenting tip number three. Successful parenting is done word by word. Word by word. The posture of a parent is that of a teacher. God bless our teachers. One of the crimes of our society is that we don't value and pay teachers better than we do. Yeah, you can clap. Absolutely. One of the little known facts about one of the reasons why Bill Gates retired is so he could spend billions of dollars on a program in America called Great Teacher Program. He believes, as I believe, that the future of our country is not in the hands of Barack Obama or our governor, but in the hands and hearts of our teachers. Listen, I want to tell you what, a teacher can change your life. I went to 22 years of training, of academic life. And out of those 22 years, I got about three or four teachers that made a big difference and impact on my life. But I will never forget those people. How about you? There are some people who don't need to be teaching, by the way. Can I just add that? If teaching for you is a job, do us a favor, get another job. If you show up in the morning and you're a teacher and you're burnt up, dry, and empty, do us all a favor. Get on welfare. Do something. Don't take our children and teach them how miserable learning is. That was good, Dave. I know it was. Sorry. I feel good about myself. But that having been said, I want to be my child's teacher. I know that Metro, you can, listen, I know I'm having a can of worms, but let's just go ahead and open them up. Christian schools. Can we talk about Christian schools? Oh, yeah, oh, it's right. You know, I've been down that road. This ain't my first rodeo. And here's the truth about Christian schools and Brentwood Academy and Christ Prez and every other Christian school or private school you've ever sent your kids to. You cannot pay people to get right what you get wrong at home. Period. You can spend all this money on an education. You can try to put them in a Christian environment. You can try to protect them. I've heard that. I want to protect them from the world. Really? We're going to have to live in the world someday, Babette. Why not let them live in the world where they've got the loving protection of your family and your teaching to guide them? Are you with me? We didn't send our kids to private school. We probably could have, and probably could have free. Matter of fact, we had offers to free. We said, we're going to send our kids to public Metro Public School because we want them to live in the real world. And you know what we found? In every Metro Public School, as bad as they are, they're awful, they're terrible, they're the worst in the whole world. At least that's what people tell us. You know, the people who have never been in them. Again, I'm sorry, I'm trying to hold back. Boy, I get a whole thing. Our girls went to all public high school. You know what we found? In every public high school in Metro, we found some really bad teachers who ought to be fired. And we found some really cool teachers who just absolutely changed our kids' life. You know what I found in private schools? Some teachers that ought to be fired. And some other really cool people. You know what I found? Money's not the issue. Teaching is our calling. Teaching is a calling. Do you understand that? And when you get around teachers who love learning and love you and want you to learn and they inspire you, they'll change your life. But I want to be my children's teacher. You are your child's teacher. And how do I do it? By pontificating with a great sermon. Do you feel sorry for my kids? They had to listen to me speak all of their kids and adults. I mean, they're totally unimpressed. Right? Listen to this. Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down on them. Take them by the hand and what? Lead them in the way of the man. How do you do that? Word by word. Words are powerful. I mean, I've heard parents say stuff to kids. You have too. I'm writing a book called What I've Heard Parents Say to Kids at Walmart. It'll be a bestseller. Or maybe not, because you've heard them all, haven't you? I've heard people talk to children at Walmart in a way I wouldn't talk to my dog. And I like to just take a stick. I don't want to like maim them or anything. Well, let me back. I shouldn't say that. This is not a good Christian thing to say. But I would like to just slap them. Is that wrong? If that's wrong, I don't want to be right. I mean, I wish I had kind of a job where it didn't really matter. You know, like I was filthy rich. I didn't care what people thought about me. I could just slap people. Because there are people who just, you know what I'm talking about. They just begging to be slapped. You know what I'm saying? They just, a good slap could probably save their soul. Be like revival. I've seen people jerk their kids up with their arm. You seen that happen? In anger and rage. I just say, you know what? You would be a prime candidate for a slap. That'd be a good instructive tool. Don't want to maim you. Don't want to put you in the hospital. Maybe let you walk with a limp for a while. But other than that, I just would like to say, don't hurt your children. And long after they're over, you know, whatever physical ailments you may have put on them, the words that you speak to your children can devastate. You do understand that worlds are created by our words. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. The scriptures say only that which is good for building one another up. You don't build your children up by cutting them down. I heard people say, you're lazy, you're fat, you're stupid. We didn't want you. I even heard one parent say, in an environment with other parents, you were, whoops. You think that's cute? You're an idiot. That's not cute. That's devastating. I heard people say, I wasn't planned. I was an unplanned pregnancy. I was the caboose. 1,000 different little slights that we use words to try to destroy the self-image and self-esteem of children with the very thing we want to be building up. Word by word, be careful how you speak to your children. Be their teacher. Amen? Face to face, day by day, word by word, here it is. Day by day. I know I got that wrong, didn't I? Heart by heart, face to face, word by word, day by day. Now here is the greatest parenting asset you have is trust. And here's where this all gets good. Here's a great secret part about parenting you won't hear almost anywhere else. You can get all the other first three wrong, and we all do to some degree, heart to heart, face to face, word by word. And you can all get it all back in the day by day principle. And here's what I mean. This is a confession. I hurry, but I got to tell you this. If you ever see me, I hate backing up in parking lots. I have a paranoia. I don't have a paranoia about almost anything else but that. Because I'm afraid somebody's going to hit me. And I'll tell you why. Because somebody did hit me. I had a Camaro. A convertible. Oh my gosh. A cool looking crappy car. That's what it broke down every, 100 miles. I mean, mechanically, it just like, I want to kill somebody in Jesus' name. Or at least slap them, But it was a cool looking car. I mean, hey, you've had cool looking cars that didn't run, didn't you? So don't blame me. So I'm backing out one day over here at Cool Springs. And sure enough, I mean, I look here, I look there, I look back. It's Christmas time. Praise Jesus. And somebody here comes to somebody in a big jacked up truck. Bam! Right on the side of my car. Did I tell you it was cool? I mean, it was new. I mean, it was sweet. I think it had 6,000 miles on it. I just got sick. If you ever been in a Camaro, getting out on the opposite side of the car ain't that easy. You know what I'm saying? It took a little, you know, acrobatic work. I finally got out. God is watching. It was a woman. I'm just saying. I'll let you fill in the blank. It was a woman. She gets out, and this is it. She says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It was totally my fault." And I'm like, "You better believe it was your fault." And then she had this big coat on, and she unbuttoned it to get her card out, and I saw that she's a police officer from Spring Hill, Tennessee. I know exactly where that is now. She said, "Oh, it's my fault. I'm a police officer, and I should have known better. And I just wasn't watching. I was blah blah blah." And I was like, "You know, I don't care. Fix my car." "Oh, I'm so sorry. It's terrible. And there's my car." Oh, my gosh. The plastic door was broke. Plastic. It was a plastic door. A Camaro on a plastic door. It's un-American. So after a few minutes of saying how sorry she was, she got in the car and left. There's my car. It's broke. It's a Camaro. It's broke. My plastic door. It's in the ground. It's laying on the floor. It's bent. The car's bent, people. She says, "I'm sorry. I'm a police officer. I should have known better." And she leaves. My car is broke. She said she was sorry. She acknowledged she should have known better. But she left. Is my car fixed? The answer would be no. Yeah. No. Well, the truth is, she didn't leave. She acknowledged that it was her fault. She's a police. I'm not making this up. This is true. That she's an officer. She should have known better. And she fixed it. She said, "Here's my insurance. If you're not pleased with that, call me first." And you know what? I had no problems. They fixed it. It was great. She was very kind, very sweet. She even called me and followed up to make sure that I was happy. That's pretty cool, isn't it? All right, the same thing is true. The same principle is true in your relationship with your children, your wife, your spouse. You can't just say, "I'm sorry, I should have known better. You know, forgive me. I said I was sorry." Or come back to your family and say, "Has Jesus in my heart. Jesus is my personal Savior. He's forgiven me for everything I've ever done. I know I was a rotten father, and I was just this. And I want you to forgive me." You do? Good. Okay, it's all fixed. No, it's not. I can forgive you. That's called forgive and verify, isn't it? Amen? And we have this idea that if we can just get religious and tell our children, "You know, I mean, all those years I neglected you and abused you and abandoned you and all these things I've done to you, God has forgiven me, and now I want you to forgive me because you're a Christian and you got to forgive me. And now it's all better." No. It's all just now started to get better. We still have to build trust, don't we? And you build trust by not making promises, but by doing what you promised to do. That's why, and I'll close with this, trust is the most valuable part of every relationship. Once you break it, it is hard to get back. Can they hear an amen? And if you have trust between you and your wife, don't violate it for anything. If you have trust between you and your children, don't violate it for anything. And if you don't, you can start the day to get it back. How do you do it? You go back and say, "Heart to heart, I've always loved you, though my life may not prove it." And how do you do that? You send them a text, right? "I'm in the church," and David says, "Hey, I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. I got to send you a second text because I'm out of the room. Text number two. Did I tell you I was in church and I feel bad about this? And I'm telling you, I'm sorry." No. Email? No. Letter? No. Face to face. Heart to heart, I love you, man. Face to face. Amen? And how do you do it? Word by word. Well, what words? Your words. Your words. Heart to heart, face to face, word to word. And then you say, you know what? Let's get back together. Let's redeem our relationship. Let's restore our relationship. And let's start walking together. And we'll do it day by day. And if you'll forgive me and come back, let me back in, I prove to you every day, day by day, day by day, one day at a time, over time, that I'm different, that I've changed, that I love you and I want you in my life. I need you in my life. And I promise that I'll be the man of God, the woman of God, the child, the son that I ought to be and want to be and that God wants me to be. Amen. We got to get good at redeeming our relationships, folks. Amen? And we do it day by day over time, word by word from our hearts, redeeming words face to face, which simply says, you're important to me. I want you in my life. I'm willing to give you the one thing in life I can never replace, and that's my time. You've always had my heart. Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning, Father, to reach out. Father, I just pray for people who I know are hurting because relationships are strained or distant, or even in some cases, totally broken. There are fathers who haven't talked to their sons in a long time, maybe even years. Mothers who haven't communicated with their daughters or sons. Strange and strained relationships, angry relationships. I pray in Jesus' name for the grace of God and the love of God to take down all the walls and all the barriers and the anger and the hurt that we feel. And Father, forgive us for where we have failed those who should have been able to depend on us. Forgive us as fathers who we have failed our sons to help them to grow up to be men of God. Forgive us, fathers, who haven't been there for our daughters to show them what a man is like when he loves their mother with all of his heart and soul. I pray for sons, Father, who need to reconcile to their fathers, and daughters who need to reconcile to their fathers and their mothers. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will break up this fallow ground, break up our hearts, break our hearts, and make us want our families back enough to do the hard work, the work that we'll be glad we did. Bring us back together, Father. Reconcile your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Go get them.